Well, please have your Bibles open at Mark chapter 1. Have you ever been in the situation where you've got something really important to say, but the person that you're speaking to won't let you make your point? You know, you've got some sort of good news. It may be, you know, you're buying a new house, or you're getting married, or you're having a baby, or something like that. But you're trying to tell the person, and all they want to do is talk about the weather, or ask you to help with the shopping, or do the gardening, or something like that. And it can be so frustrating, can't it? You've got something that's inside you, good news that you just want to tell people, but they won't let you make your point. And they just don't give you that opportunity, so, you know, you move on, and then you speak to someone else, someone who knows the good news, and they say, well, did you tell them then? I'm sure we've all been in that situation at some time. And that sort of scenario, it really captures the mood here in these verses in Mark chapter 1. We need to remember that Jesus has been sent to this earth with a very complicated and involved mission. He's got lots of things to do, and it is very deep, it's very important. And central to his mission, central to what he's come to do, is that message that we saw proclaimed in Mark 1 verse 15, when Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. This is the message that he's come to declare, and eventually for the kingdom to come in its fullness, he's got to go to the cross and he's got to die. But instead of listening to this message and responding to it, the people are flocking to Jesus for something else. They're flocking in order to be healed. They're coming to him to have demons cast out of them. Now, this miraculous side of Jesus' mission, it is really important because his miraculous deeds prove that he's telling the truth. They serve as a stamp of identity which says that, yes, he is the genuine Messiah. Only the Son of God could do these things. And people certainly needed his help. So he's doing these things, and they're providing evidence of his identity. But they're just the icing on the cake. They're not that big slab of cake. They're just the icing on top. When people are approaching Jesus with the wrong motives, when they just want to go to him to be healed or something like that, they're missing out on so much because Jesus has got so much more to offer than simply healing. Well, how does Jesus respond to all this? Is he filled with frustration? Do we see him getting angry? No, not at all. Here we see a glimpse of the heart of our Lord and Savior, and, of course, a glimpse of God's heart. We see that he is filled with patience, that he is filled with love as he meets the needs of these people. And as we look at these many people being healed, having demons cast out of them, we need to remember that many of these people never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. They just came to him, they were healed, they were blessed. And then they went their own way. So let's have a look at what's happening here in these verses. We're still in Capernaum, this city that's up there in Galilee. And it's not the most important city in the region, but it's a bigger place than Nazareth. And it's still the same day. It's still the Sabbath. Still the same day as what we were looking at last week, where we saw that Jesus had great authority to teach God's word in a way that people had never heard before, and authority to cast out a demon as well. And now, the service is finished, and he's there with those four disciples who were mentioned, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And what do? They go back to Simon's house. And there's a helpful lesson for us there straight away, because the disciples, they took Jesus home with him. How many of us take Jesus home with us after the church service? So many people, they gather together. And this may be the only moment in the week when they think of spiritual matters, when they think about God, when they think about Jesus. We need to be people who always take Jesus home with us and then take Jesus to work with us or to the family with us or whatever it is we're doing. Because we're called to be Christians 24/7 in every circumstance. And the person who only meets with Jesus on a Sunday morning, there's huge questions about where they stand, with the Lord, because being a Christian is not a hobby that we do just once a week, but it's a lifestyle that we live. So taking Jesus home with us after the service, that's something that we should all be doing. So they go back to Simon's house, and we see that Jesus, after a busy morning of ministry, he doesn't do what I do, which is collapse, have something to eat and put my feet up for the afternoon. We see that he continues working, because Simon's mother-in-law, she's there and she's got a fever. And with just a touch, Jesus is able to heal this lady, which is absolutely wonderful. We know that fevers are potentially life-threatening, and we have to remember that these are in the days before the wonderful medicine we have nowadays. Many people would die from a fever. And when you've got a fever, when you do come through it, are you ready to spring straight into action? Not at all. Fevers are really draining. They take all the energy out of us. So it takes a while to recover from a fever. Unless Jesus is there. And he just comes and touches this lady. And not only heals of her problems, but straight away she's restored to full strength. And she's there and she's busy working and doing things. She's waiting on them. Just an important little aside here that not many people may have noticed. Simon was later renamed Peter. And Peter is in this household, and it's mother-in-law who is sick. Peter was married. Not everyone realizes that. His wife is mentioned later in 1 Corinthians. Now then, ladies, how often are you embarrassed by your husbands? What was Peter's reputation before the day of Pentecost? The man who was always putting his foot in his mouth. So no matter how bad you think your husbands might be, just be grateful they're not as bad as Peter. Well, that's just a humorous little aside. It just shows you that these disciples who were called, they were ordinary men. And, in this case, Peter was someone who was married, and I expect he would have had children as well. So he's just an ordinary person. So they're there. They're in Simon's household. Simon's mother-in-law has been healed. And the moment that the Sabbath comes to its conclusion, as the sun sets, in the Jewish reckoning of time, when the sun sets, that's when the day ends. The restrictions on travel on the Sabbath are lifted, and what happens? All the people of the town who have got sick and poorly people and demon-possessed people, they all gather there. So it's a good job that the mother-in-law's been restored to full strength, because there's lots of people coming around unexpectedly for tea. And what do we see Jesus doing? Well, he continues to work, doesn't he? He's continuing to heal these people and cast out the demons. And once again, we see, just as it was in the morning, we see that the demons were not allowed to speak. And this is an important point, because a lot of people might say, well, all publicity is good publicity. Let the demons spread the news about Jesus. But when you think about it for a moment, that's entirely inappropriate, isn't it? It really is the wrong thing at all. Because demons, they're the people who are being, as it were, pushed out by the arrival of the kingdom. And they're known to be liars. They're known to not be trustworthy. So do you think people are going to listen to the things that they say? Not at all. And it's not right that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light is announced by people who are in the kingdom of darkness. So we see that they're inappropriate and untrustworthy messengers. We also know that these are spiritual beings. And it may be that they understand more about what Jesus has come to do than people know at that time, that it's right for them to know. And our Lord, when he's here on earth, we see that he's following a carefully arranged timetable. So it's important that information isn't released too early, which is something else that these evil spirits might have done to cause mischief. So we see that Jesus is exerting his authority to silence these evil spirits as they are cast out. And the fact that the Lord has got time to heal all these people is a wonderful, wonderful example of our Lord's love and patience, which is an insight into the heart of God the Father. These people are being healed. Their problems are really being solved. These people really needed help. And after a long and busy day, Jesus, who must have been tired, is still reaching out to them and showing them God's love. And he's doing this because each and every person is important in God's eyes. We live in a society and at a time where there's clearly some people are considered more important than others. We know that people who have got a lot of money in the bank are considered very important. Even worse, we know that people who can kick a bag of air around and between some wooden posts are considered superstars. And yet, that's the world that we live in. We know that some people are considered far more important than others. But not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, each and every person is equally important. Whether you're the richest person in the world or the poorest person in the world, every person is made in God's image. And every person is important in God's sight. Every person is worth dignity and respect and care. And this is what we see Jesus showing here as he cares for and respects these people, these unknown people in a small outer way town all those years ago. But he's showing God's heart for the forgotten and the marginalized and the cast out. The loving heart of God is being shown here as he ministers to these people who are precious in his sight. And it's hard work. He's sacrificing. It's sacrificial giving. He's there. He's up late serving them. And eventually, when all of the needs are met, then we see that he gets a few hours sleep. And then he's up early the next morning. He's off out and he's gone out to a place by himself to pray. To pray. And for our Lord, prayer is so essential. Throughout his ministry, we see that time and time again, he is retreating to a place by himself to pray. So often when we're busy, the thing that goes out the window first is the quiet time. It's the time of prayer. But with Jesus, he makes time for prayer. And as we look at our Lord's life, we have to remember that as Christians, we're called to model him. At this moment, he is showing us what it's like to be the person who's in the right relationship with God, which means that the things that he does should be a priority for us. So we see Jesus caring for people. We should care for people and treat them with respect. And we see Jesus praying, and we should be praying more. And it's one of those things, the subject of prayer, that Christians always struggle with. Who here is happy with their prayer life? No one. We all know that this is an area where we should be doing better. And as we look at our Lord's example here, we see one way that we can do better. Jesus has set time aside for prayer, and he's gone to a place where he can be by himself. Now, this can be difficult if we're in a busy, crowded house and there's lots going on. It can be hard to find a moment of solitude, but look for it. Look for that time when you're by yourself and use it not to check Facebook, but to pray. And we also see that Jesus is going away, out to a lonely place, going out for a walk so that you're by yourself and you can walk while you walk and pray as you're going around. That's a good thing to do. Just getting out into the countryside for a time of prayer. We're surrounded by lovely countryside here. Many lovely walks. It is a good thing to do to get out and spend some time praying. Because when we do this, we're sharing our hearts with the Lord. We're hearing from the Lord. And it is a good opportunity to get out. So we should be seeking times of solitude to help us in our prayer lives. Well, it doesn't stay like that for long. Pretty soon, the disciples, they hunt him out, and they say to him, everyone is looking for you. It's there in verse 37. And how does Jesus reply? Does he say to them, right, well, we've got the ball rolling now. We're starting to get famous. Let's go out to some other towns and some other villages, and let's go and heal those people as well. Is that what Jesus says? No, not quite. He does want to move on to other places. He wants to go from Capernaum, which is sort of a central town. He goes out to the villages. So he's going out to smaller places. He's going out to see people who wouldn't necessarily be able to travel into Capernaum to see him. But he's going out and he's saying there in verse 38, so that I can preach there also. And this is it. This is the heart of the matter. Jesus has come and his desire is to preach the good news of the kingdom to the people. So for our Lord, even though he had this incredible power to help people and to heal people and to cast out demons, his number one priority at this moment is to declare the good news of the kingdom, to preach to people. And there's a couple of things there for us to learn. While it is wonderful to help people, to provide for their needs, the proclamation of the gospel is the most important thing. So it's right for us to be providing for people, to look after people, to care for people, to be generous towards people. But we should always be sharing the gospel as well. We should always be seeking to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people around us. And this is an area which, sadly, some churches may have forgotten because they spend so much time meeting people's needs that they forget all about the gospel. We must never fall into that trap. The gospel comes first. And the second thing that this teaches us is something that is even more challenging. Because Jesus went out to the people. He didn't wait for the people to come to him. As a church, we are very good at welcoming people in. And there are always some folk who will seek out the Lord. The Lord will stir in their hearts and they will come and find a church. But not everyone. If Jesus had stayed in Capernaum, some people would have come and sought him out. But many folk wouldn't. And it's the same for us today. We need to be people who are willing to go out there and reach the folk around us. To illustrate this, let's just think about the A&E department in a hospital. In a hospital, you've got an accident and emergency department, and some people, they get hurt, and they're able to get into the A&E by themselves, aren't they? Some people who are hurt a little bit more, they're able to be brought along, maybe by relatives. But the people who really need the services of the A&E most are the people with terrible conditions. And how are they brought in? They're brought in by ambulances, aren't they? Paramedics are sent out. Their condition is stabilized out there. And then they're brought into the A&E department. So many churches, they just rely on the walking wounded coming in by themselves. And they forget about those people who we can bring in. And they forget about those people that we've got to reach out to grab hold of. This is an area that we do need to be praying about and asking that the Lord will give us the courage and the confidence to reach out to these different people, these people who are really, really in desperate need of the gospel. Well, with that thought in mind, it leads us on to the next section that we're looking at, where Jesus is seen healing a leper. And this is a very familiar story to us. And because it's familiar, it means that we don't always understand its importance and significance. Because when we talk about leprosy today, it's Hansen's disease, a disease that is treatable with antibiotics. And it's a problem in poor parts of the world, not a problem for us today. But leprosy was the Ebola of its day. And we all know, don't we, how bad Ebola is. We have a shudder when we hear the word Ebola. That's a disease that we do not want to catch. Leprosy was different to Ebola. Ebola kills people very quickly. Leprosy kills people very slowly. But leprosy back then was untreatable. And it means that anyone who went down with leprosy was doomed to a slow death. And a slow death which isolated them from other people as well. Both physically, because it was contagious, so you didn't, if you came near a person with leprosy, you could catch it. So they were isolated from the people. And also, there was spiritual isolation there as well, because someone with leprosy was not allowed into the temple. So this person, this leper, is all by himself. And in those days, there was this belief that we see floating around and popping up a few times in the Gospels, that conditions like this are caused because someone has sinned themselves, or maybe their parents have sinned. It's seen as sort of a curse from God. Which is why the leper goes to Jesus and says, "If you are willing, I know that you can make me clean." The leper knows that Jesus has got the power to cleanse him. But is the condition that he's got some sort of curse from God, so that he's outside of this healing grace that Jesus is able to bring? It's no wonder that Jesus is indignant at this. No wonder at all. As Christians, we need to recognize that we live in a world which is filled with sin. It is filled with sin. Since the fall of man, this world has not been what it should be. And that means that the problems that we see around us, you know, disease, disability, and death, these things are brought about because we are living in a world that's polluted by sin. Back in the 1980s, I'm sure you remember about the Chernobyl disaster, where this reactor, it melted down and radioactive waste was thrown all over Europe. It even got to us here. And today, around Chernobyl, there's a radioactive wasteland. And at first glance, you wouldn't realize it's a radioactive wasteland because the trees are growing and there's birds flying around and things like that. But these plants and animals, they've got some very strange lives. They've got all sorts of problems. And that's because of the environment that they're in. It's an environment that's polluted with radiation. We live in a world that is polluted by sin. And that means that diseases come along, disability come along, death comes along. And it's nothing to do with someone's personal sins. It's because we're in a world that is cursed by sin. Now, that's something that we do need to remember, because we're surrounded by people with all sorts of terrible conditions. And it's because the world is not as it should be. And the world is not as it should be because this world has rejected God, has run away from him. And the consequences of that is that we live in this world that's polluted by sin. And that's why the gospel message is such good news. Because what's Jesus come to do? To rescue us from this world. And then as we look forward to the future, we look forward to a time when sin is completely done away with and this world is restored. So the heart of what Jesus has come to do is to rescue people from this world of sin, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So that means that when Jesus is there and this leper's in front of him, Jesus is able and willing to reach out and touch this leper. And we see the opposite happening to what people would expect. To touch a leper in those days was to become spiritually unclean, and you weren't allowed to go into the temple. And there was a real risk that you would catch the disease. But we see here the power of the kingdom of God, because we see that this person is cleansed. So instead of the badness going on to Jesus, we see his goodness flowing out onto him. This leper is cleansed. And then he's told to go down to Jerusalem and to make the necessary sacrifices. And that's an important thing, because we know that Jesus, he came to fulfill the law. And parts of the law were done away with after he'd died on the cross. But we see that he is still honoring the law and telling this person to go and keep the law and make the sacrifices down there in Jerusalem. We expect that the man did this. That's what he needed to do to be brought back into society. But once he's back, he ignores Jesus saying, "Keep this quiet." And instead he tells absolutely everyone about what he's done. In a way we can understand it, but Jesus has asked him to be quiet. And this man's disobedience, it means that everyone knows that Jesus can now heal any disease. Because if he can deal with the worst disease of the time, it means that anything else can be sorted out. So Jesus, he's no longer to openly go into the towns. Instead, he has to be out the way, and people come to him. And so many of these people, they're coming to him in order to be healed. They're not coming to him to hear the message that he's trying to proclaim, that he's trying to teach. For us today, it's quite possible that the same may be true. In this world, many people know that Jesus can help them with their problems. So they come to him in order to get themselves cleaned up. But they're only interested in sorting out their addiction, their marital problems, their money shortages or something like that. Once those problems are sorted out, then they're not really interested in the good news. And when people are living like this, they're missing out on the best thing that Jesus has got for them. So this morning, if you're gathered here, and you're gathered here and you're thinking about the problems that you're wrestling with, just lay those things to one side and come to Jesus and listen what he's got to say. Don't list your problems, but listen to him. He will talk about deeper needs, deeper problems, more heartfelt needs that you have got. He knows the pain and suffering that you are going through. He knows your issues. He knows the things that you are wrestling with. He knows your life experience. And he can help. But he doesn't want to deal just with the symptoms of your problem. Because, you know, the addictions and the marital problems and the money shortages and even our physical health, these are just symptoms of a deeper problem. The fact that we are rebelling against God. The fact that we are sinners who commit sin. And sin leads to a fractured relationship with God. And this is the cause of the problems and the pain in people's lives. Jesus wants to tell you about the love that he has for you. A love that took him to the cross so that God's righteous anger against the things that you have done wrong would be turned away from you and would fall onto his shoulders instead. The question is, will you listen to him? Will you listen to him close enough to allow Jesus to get to the heart of the matter and tell you what God has done to sort the problem out?